Amen. What a blessing. All right, take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter number 78. The book of Psalms in chapter number 78. Aren't you glad tonight that you can trust the Lord, amen, with your life? Trust Him with your family. Trust Him with your future.
That's right.
And God is, you can't ask too much of my God tonight. And I'm thankful that we can't. But there was a group of people here in Psalm 78, and when I first came here last year, I attempted to preach from this verse and preached, I believe, one point. And so I went back and continued the thought here. And I'm going to finish the thought tonight, a different message, but really from the same text. In Psalm chapter number 78, the Bible says in verse number 19, if you'll look with me, this speaking about God's people, the children of Israel. And the Bible says here, in verse number 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God... Now, I don't recommend you ever put a question mark when it comes to referencing the Lord. Because you'll be just like the devil, right? Yea, hath God said. It goes back to Genesis in chapter number 3. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know, you study your Bible, you'll find that the Bible is full of questions. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, there are questions all through the Word of God. The devil asks questions all through the Bible. God asks man questions. Man asks God questions. Jesus asked His disciples questions. His disciples ask Him some questions. And some questions don't deserve an answer. It'll liberate your Christian life if you realize you don't have to answer every question that comes your way. The Bible says in Proverbs 26 verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. But there are some questions that do deserve an answer, because the very next verse says to answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. You say, what's the difference between answering not and answering? The difference is you got to have some wisdom and know when to answer and when not to answer. You see, you cannot stoop to the level of a fool. But you also cannot let him get away puffed up. Wise in his own conceit. You say, what makes the difference in that thing? It's the heart of the questioner that makes the difference. Is he or she a cynic? Are they a skeptic? Are they asking a question or are they questioning? There is a difference tonight between a question and being questioned. And a fool can ask more questions than a wise man could ever answer in a lifetime. And I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God who can handle our questions. There's many questions that come in your Christian life. As a matter of fact, life produces questions. Even Jesus on the cross said, my God, why? It was a question. Hast thou forsaken me? And so life, if you live this Christian life, life is going to produce some questions. And so tonight, by means of, Brother Jason texted me tonight, he told me he wasn't going to be able to be here. He said, are you teaching tonight? I said, I'm going to preach tonight. It's a hybrid between teaching and preaching, for those of you that don't know what that means. And so let's look at the first question in the Bible here that we're going to look at tonight. It's not an exhaustive study, because that would be exhausting and we don't have enough time in a 30-minute period. But look at Job chapter number 25. Job in chapter number 25. Job is the oldest book in the Bible, over 3,000 years old. Not necessarily, obviously, in order of the Bible. The first book in the Bible is Genesis. But chronologically here, we've got the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. In Job chapter number 25 and verse number 4, the Bible asks a question here. It says this, Job chapter 25 and verse number 4, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Number one, I'm talking about questions that you might ask God. They said, can God? And can I say tonight, he can? Yes, he can. We serve a God can God. There's an old preacher years ago who preached a famous message from this text called Can God? And I'm not preaching his message tonight, but he took that text and made that sermon title famous. Can God? Can God? Can God? And he can tonight. But life might bring some questions to your mind as a believer, and you might find yourself asking some of the questions that the Bible asks. This first question, number one, is the question on can God pardon iniquity? Can I say tonight, yes, he can? He is still in the soul-saving business. The question was, how then can man, sinful, dirty, rotten, stinking, no good for nothing man, be justified with God, such a holy and a righteous God, and how can he be clean that is born of a woman? I like what Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 8 says. The Bible says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. I'm thankful tonight to preach to you that we have a God who can pardon iniquity. He is still in the soul-saving business. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got a child that you've been praying for years, and you say, Brother Brian, the more I pray for them, the farther away from God they get. Or you got a husband that you've been praying for. It seemed like the more you pray, the more you witness, the more you try to do right and try to get them to God, it seemed like the further away from God they get. And maybe as you go through your Christian life, you might find yourself asking this question, how then can they be justified with God? How can they be clean that is born of a woman? Can I say tonight, God can still save the vilest of sinners. He can still pardon iniquity from the guttermost to the uttermost. God can save them. He can save them, amen, from the mire and put them in the choir. He can take them from the pit and put them in a pulpit. We serve a God who is able tonight to justify the vilest of sinners. He can take an old drunk and make a daddy out of them. He can take an old wicked woman and make a mama out of her. He can take a rebellious teenager and put them on the front row and put a song in their heart and hunger for God down in their soul. I'm saying God can take a rebel, amen, and make them righteous. He's still in the soul-saving business. I've seen him save piano players. I've seen him save deacons' wives and deacons. And I had a man who signed my Bible here. His name was Rick Dawson. He was the man that was preaching the day I got called to preach. He jumped up on some old tables there in Windsor Hills Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I'll never forget it. It was a room full of just young men. And I had no desire to preach. I wasn't even praying about being a preacher. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I was a junior in high school. He jumped up on those tables there and he preached, oh, we need preachers. But in the course of that message, he told us, he said, I pastored an independent Baptist church for 7 years before I got saved. He was raised in church his whole life. Now, I don't even know how that's possible, but that was his testimony. I'm glad he wasn't so prideful. He said, man, I'm a pastor all these years now. I didn't ask him, did you have to go back and get recalled to preach and voted in as pastor since you were lost? I didn't ask all that. I'm just saying, amen, I'm glad God can save anybody. He can save the vilest prisoner or he can save a church brat. Amen, they're all going to the same hell. And I'm thankful tonight we serve a God who is able, who can save. God can pardon iniquity. But then look at the second question. Here in Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37, the second question we're going to look at tonight. Can God pardon iniquity? Yes, he can. But Ezekiel 37, verse number 3, the Bible says this. Now, this is an interesting text. Let's just look at verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. They'd been there a long time. And he said unto me, Son of man, here's the question. Can these bones live? God is asking the question to Ezekiel. And I answered, I like his answer, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, so on and so forth. The second question is not, can God pardon iniquity? But number two, the second question we want to see tonight is, can God produce life? Can God take that which is dead? Can God take that which is dry? Can God take that which is, there is no hope for this situation outside of God? Can God produce life in such a dead and dry situation? Can I say tonight the same answer for the first point, question is the same answer now? Yes, He can. God can still produce life in the midst of a dead and dry situation. How many times has your prayer life been dry? How many times has your walk with God been dry? Maybe tonight your family is dry, and maybe your relationship with your spouse is dead, and maybe there's some relationships with your children that are dead, that are dry, and there's no life, and it used to be, but it's no more, and now you're in the midst of it seemed like an impossible situation. And God comes to Ezekiel as he's set in the midst of this valley that's filled with dry bones. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord took him and put him down right in the midst of this valley. He had dead bones on this side, dry bones on this side, dead dry bones on this side, dead dry bones on this side. He was right in the middle of it. And then God said, hey, can these bones live? They had been sun bleached. They were there for a long time. And I'm telling you, amen, if it was me, I'd been saying, I don't know about that, Lord. This is an impossible situation. And then I'll tell you what God did. You know what God did? We know the rest of the story because we got the Bible. But God took a dead, dry situation and He brought life to them. But the whole question was, can God produce life? Yes, He can tonight. He can put life in your marriage and life in your church and life in your walk with God and life with your children. God is in the business of bringing life. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said this in John 10:10. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know what produced life? Look at verse number 4. He asked the question in verse 3. Verse 4, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know what he said? He said, Ezekiel, these are dead dry bones. The first thing I want you to do to these dead dry bones, I want you to preach to them. Now that don't make any sense, just like preaching don't make sense tonight. Does it make any sense tonight to your human intellect that what we're doing in here makes any sense at all? It makes no sense. You showed up at 7 o'clock, you found your pew, you sat here, we sang some songs, and now here we are. Everybody else is being quiet, everybody else is stopping and listening, and everybody's looking at a pulpit, and you got a crazy man up here, amen, opening the Bible, reading some verses, and yelling a little bit. You say, what does that produce? It produces life. It produced life in my life. Amen. I'm glad that old preacher got up and he preached to me and told me I need to be saved by the grace of God. I'm glad that preacher got up and said, hey, you're not right with God. You need to get right with God whenever I was backslid on God. I'm glad that preacher got up and preached to me about how to stay right and how to stay clean and how to stay holy, how to walk with God. You said, what'd that all do? It produced life in my life. When there was deadness and when there was dryness, amen, it didn't make any sense to human intellect. Somebody might walk away and say, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the very first thing he said, I want you, Ezekiel, to turn around and preach to a bunch of dead, dry bones. Not much has changed in the Baptist realm today, amen. God still tells the preacher to stand up. He said, preach to them. Don't matter if they're alive. Don't matter if they're dry. Don't matter if they're dead. Just get up and preach. Amen. By faith, there might not be a whole lot of shaking. There might not be a whole lot of moving. There might not be no response. Amen. But just get up by faith and preach to those dead, dry bones. Because I'm in the business of bringing life. He's a God who produces life. Preaching produces life. He said the pure word of God produces life. He said, tell them what the Bible says. Verse 4, he said, hear the word of the Lord. He didn't say, hear what I have to say. He said, tell me what that book says. Tell me what God said, and God's word can bring life to your life. The precious Holy Ghost brings life. Verse 5, look at it. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath. That's the Spirit of God to enter into you, and ye shall what? Live. You know what? I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can make all the difference in the world. All is vain unless the Spirit, the song says, of the Holy One comes down. I've seen Him do it with the most unusual preachers. I've seen Him do it without preaching. I've seen Him do it with preaching. I've seen Him do it with singing. You know one thing about God? He cannot be explained, the Holy Ghost, and He cannot be controlled. And that's why most of the time nobody wants the Holy Ghost in their service. Because they want something they can explain, and they want something that they can control. One of the greatest things you'll ever do in your Christian life is come to church, just tear up the script of what you expect, and say, Lord, here we are, do what we cannot do. Let that Spirit of God blow and breathe and move. You know what makes all the difference? Is that wind of God? When He starts moving and He starts blowing, He blows across the strings of somebody's heart. Man, I've been in services before where the Spirit of God just decided to start moving. I remember one time, Brother Buddy Blanco, this is the most unusual thing in the world. I was in Bible college on a Saturday night. And we had all the college students in the auditorium, and they showed that movie. It was in 2005, up on a screen, Facing the Giants. Y'all remember that movie? Years ago for that Southern Baptist. It was a great movie. God used it. We watched that movie, and then at the end of the movie, we're getting ready to go home. And I don't know if somebody, there was a group of people praying. There were some moms and dads praying back at home. I don't know what happened. And we weren't trying to be spooky or Pentecostal, but the Spirit of God just showed up right in the middle of all those colleges. I was there. And man, I mean, it got wild. And I remember the pastor of the church looking over at Brother Buddy Blanco, because I was down on the altar with some young men praying. I mean, there was young people all over the altars. Some of the girls got up and went to another room and started praying with one another. And I mean, it just got real holy. I mean, God was moving. It was just the Spirit of God there. He manifested Himself. Whatever you want to call it, He was there doing a work. And I remember hearing Brother, the pastor, I won't say who the pastor was just because we're on live stream, but he said, what do we do now? And I'll never forget, I heard that old preacher, Brother Buddy Blanco, he said, just get out of the way. Just get out of the way. The Lord just showed up. That was about 10 o'clock at night, May 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and we stayed there all night long. People were praying, people were crying, didn't want to leave. Even when we were done praying, just nobody wanted to leave because the Lord was there. Why would you want to leave His presence? You say, what was that? It was the Spirit of God, and He was producing life. Nobody drummed that up, nobody primed that up. No, somebody must have been praying and seeking. And the Lord said, I like what I'm seeing down there. I believe I'm just going to go down there and hang out with them for a little while. And just bust everybody's chops because they just watched a movie. There wasn't no preaching going on. And I'm not saying we ought not have preaching, but God just did what He wanted to do. He wasn't in a box, was He? Can God produce life? Yes, He can. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm back to chapter 78, back to our text. Oh, I love this. I've seen Him do this one in my life. Back to the text verse, when they asked the question in the wilderness. I mean, they were in the wilderness of sin. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Verse 20, behold, He smote the rock and the water, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Here's the question. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Here's the question. Not only can God pardon iniquity, yes, He can. And can God produce life? Yes, He can. But the question here is this, can God provide our needs? Can I say tonight, yes, He can. He is a God who can. He's a can God. Exclamation point. And sometimes we wonder if God can even see our needs, don't we? We tell everybody else, we talk to God and we talk to others like God doesn't even know and like He cannot even provide. But you know what I love? I love David. David said in the book of Psalms 37, in verse number 25, David said, I have been young, and now I'm an old man. I added a little part to that. He said, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, God can still provide. And you know, one of the greatest lessons in your life is whenever you realize that it's God that will provide your needs. God will teach you that He wants to provide your needs. Sometimes, I'll give you an illustration. My brother-in-law was in Germany for 17 years as a missionary. Brother Gary Lutrick Jr., who's now down at Bayou Drive. And he was there as a missionary. And my father-in-law was telling us one time, he said, Gary and Chastity, and they, I think they had Justin and maybe Jackson at the time. And over there it gets cold in the wintertime, and they have those that you have to get your oil filled up for those oil heaters. The oil kind of goes through those heaters over there in Europe, kind of a different way of heating. But they ran out of oil in their house right dead in the middle of winter. Cost about $600 or so, 600 euro to fill up that oil tank. And they had no money. For whatever reason, they didn't have any money. It doesn't matter. They were broke. And they found out, you know, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and my father-in-law said, we had a little extra money. Lord been good to us. My mother-in-law, you know, that's our boy over there. That's our grandbabies over there. They're on the mission field. My father-in-law said, I went down and was going to Western Union him $600 so that he could fill up his oil. And he said, as sure as the world, the Holy Ghost came and said, do not send your boy $600. And he said, man, he said, I argue with the Lord. And listen, to this day, my brother-in-law still talks about how God used that in their life to get down on their knees and to pray. And God supernaturally, through some other ways that were God ways, provided that money so they could fill up that oil tank. Amen. He said, what was God doing? God was, amen, telling a daddy, don't bail your son out. I'm trying to teach him, amen. He don't have to lean on mom and daddy anymore. He don't have to lean on the church anymore, amen. He can lean on God, and I can take care of his needs. I know God can use mom and daddy. I know God can use the church, and most of the time he does. But he might want to teach somebody, amen, that he's the one that's going to have to bail you out of the situation you're in, and you're going to have to learn how to trust God in the midst, amen, of walking with God. He's the one that provides. He's the one that comes through. He is the provider. He can provide the spiritual needs that you have tonight. He can provide your emotional needs that you have. He can provide your physical needs and your financial needs and your marital needs and your psychological needs. Whatever need you got tonight, He is the one that can provide. In Mark chapter number 5, you read about that maniac of Gadara. You know what the Bible says? He was sitting there. He was in those tombs crying, cutting himself with stones. No man could tame him. No, not with fetters and chains. And listen, coming across the sea was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the gangplank of that ship fell down and out stepped the Son of God into that maniac's life, amen, the Bible says that he ran and he fell at Jesus' feet. And when it was all said and done, that man who was possessed with all them legions of devils, crying, cutting himself with stones, no man could bind him, had no one out with fetters and chains. When Jesus got through with him, he was sitting, amen. He was clothed, and he was in his right mind. You know what God did? God provided. He was sitting. That was his emotional and his spiritual needs. No longer crazy man running around in the tombs. He was clothed. The Bible says he was naked. Now, where in the world did he get his clothes? In the middle of a graveyard? There wasn't no Target, there wasn't a Walmart, there wasn't a shopping center out there. He just went from naked to clothed. You know why? God provided him his clothes. It was his physical and his financial needs were met, and he was in his right mind, no longer crazy. His psychological needs were met. And look around here tonight. You know what you'll see? You'll see a bunch of folks, amen, who God came and provided for. It might be in different ways, amen, but I'm telling you, God can do it tonight. You know, we all put on a facade, don't we? We really do. We come in and, amen, sometimes we just gotta fake it till we make it. But listen, every one of us in here, if we started over here with Miss Cindy, we went all the way across to everybody in here who's got needs. It might not be financial. Maybe you got some financial, all your financial needs, but that might not be it. But maybe some of you tonight may be dealing with some mental battles. And maybe some of you tonight got physical battles. Maybe some of you tonight got marital battles and you're struggling with your spouse. And maybe some of you got children that are wayward and, man, you just can't hardly shake it. It just tears you up at night. All, every day long you wonder where they're at, what they're doing, amen. Can I say God can provide. He is the one who can step in, amen, and take care of the whole situation. We just got to trust Him tonight. He's one, amen, that God can. And you know, sometimes He won't just provide our needs, He'll provide our wants. Here about 5 or 6 years ago, we were pretty broke. We were serving the Lord, and I just started traveling some. And as a kind husband, I wanted to get my wife a Starbucks. I know it wasn't much, but it's no longer Starbucks. It used to be $5, now it's like $8, amen. But anyhow, it's gone, it's through the roof. But we went up there, and I said, you know, I'm not getting a coffee. I said, I'm just going to save the money. I'll get a water. And we ordered her coffee. And my wife, she said, you know what? She said, I'm going to ask God to pay for this coffee. I said, all right, go ahead. I ask God to pay for it. And God's going to use me to pay for it, amen. She said, I'll order one. I said, I'm not ordering one. It's going to be too expensive. And we got up to that line right there, and that lady, sure enough, she said, sir, she said, the car in front of you paid for your drink. And I wanted to stop that car and reorder my drink, amen, but I missed out on a blessing. And I thought to myself, even God can provide what you want sometimes. He'll spoil us rotten, amen, for the Lord. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. Can God provide our needs? Yes, He can. Look at Job chapter number 11. I'll look at another one very quickly tonight. Job 11. He's a God who pardons. He's a God who produces life. He's a God who provides our needs. Job chapter number 11, verse number 7. The Bible says this, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty? Unto perfection. Here's the question. Can God be personal to me? Listen, it'll be the most liberating day in your Christian life when you realize that God is not just mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and the preachers and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers' God, but He can be your God. You can talk to Him. He can be your Heavenly Father tonight. Listen to these verses, Jeremiah 23:23. Am I God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Psalm 56:9, this I know, for God is for me. John 10:3, He calleth His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, amen, God is a personal God. You can talk to Him. You can love on Him. You can worship Him. You don't have to do it through this person and that person. You can. He is a personal God. Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Canst thou by searching find out God? Look at another one here. Genesis 41. Genesis 41. Not only is God a personal God, but I like this one here. I'm talking about, can God? And yes, He can. He's able. Genesis 41, verse number 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is? Look at this now. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Here's the question. Here's the question you might find yourself asking. Can God post a man? Can God put a man in a position where he needs to be put when the need needs to be met? Can I say tonight, yes, he can. He does not need our help. Amen. He needs us to trust him. He is the God who does that. That's why your pastor's here. I've heard him just the other day listening to a podcast tell about how God moved him from Franklin, Louisiana to here supernaturally through the hand of God 30 years ago coming in September. You say, what did God do? God posted a man. God found a man in whom the Spirit of God was for such a time as this past 30 years for this church's need. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse number 6, there was a man, listen now, sent from God whose name was John. God sent him. Man did not send him. The church did not send him. The preachers did not send him. The Southern Baptist Association did not send him. God sent John on a special mission to a special people, to a special place. He posted a man where he needed that man to be. He found a man. God can post a man. George Whitefield, in February of 1738, he left England for America. And he was on a ship that stopped in Gibraltar for 2 weeks as he was coming to America. George Whitefield used the opportunity to preach the gospel. They said that many of those English soldiers were stationed there at the fort in Gibraltar. And he began, as George Whitefield was there, for that 2 week detour. He preached to those men and ministered to those men. And Whitefield wrote in his own journal on March the 6th of 1738, he said, I had near, if not more than 100 men at my morning exposition. And it being my last day at my sojourning at Gibraltar, many came to me weeping. Many men told me what God had done for their souls, desiring my prayers and promising me theirs in return. Others both gave me and sent me tokens of their love, cakes and figs and wine and eggs and other necessities for my voyage. And it seemed to want words to express their affection to me. I'm saying God posted a man in Gibraltar because God knew that there was some English soldiers there that needed a man to stand up for 2 weeks and encourage them and preach to them. Amen. You say he was going to America. God said, no, before you go to America, you're going to stop in Gibraltar because I got a place I want to post you. Try to be a blessing to. God's in the business of posting men wherever he wants them to be. My father-in-law, he's been hanging out a lot at my house now that I live in the country. And he posted his, put his motorcycle there. He bought him a Harley. He got on that thing and he rode up to Livingston up on those back roads there, you know. He came back in. He had tears in his eyes last night when he got in, and he said, 48 years ago this coming Saturday, he said, I had nothing. He said, my life was a wreck. My home was a wreck. He said, my daddy had cut me off, said, you go to Houston, you're no longer my son. And he said, I remember riding into Houston down those exact roads 48 years ago, 1978, on the back of an old motorcycle with just a backpack on, in my old tattered clothes, a broken life. And he said, as I rode up those roads today, he said, tears running down my face. And he was weeping, telling us, he said, I was riding up those roads a little different than I rode down 48 years ago. He said, what'd God do? God took a Louisiana redneck with nothing to offer anybody and took him, amen, and put him under that old preacher that had a little patience with him when everybody else had written him off. Amen. Brother Jack Wood took him under his wing all them years ago and loved him and trained him and prayed for him. Amen. And he raised me a good wife and now we're here serving the Lord. He said, what'd God do? God posted a man. God knows how to take a man and put him over here. God removes a man and takes him, put him over here. And that's all God's business. He don't need our help. He don't need us manipulating and trying to move things here and slide a hand here. Amen. We just need to trust God and say, God, there's a man sent from God. Wherever you want to post us, here we are. Here, my Lord, send me. And boy, we could tell illustrations all night long tonight. I remember just a few years ago riding through the countryside there in Wilhelmshaven, Germany, in a little old car with Brother Buddy Duke. And Brother Buddy, just an old boy, you know, from California, just an old sailor that got saved on the back of a ship and now a missionary for all them years. And man, I remember he's driving down the road. We had to go to where Martin Luther, the Wartburg, where Martin Luther penned the words to the New Testament there in 1514, I believe it was. And we stood at that place where he penned those words there in 1514, and where he supposedly, you know, the devil came in there and he threw that ink and quill against the wall. And you can see where that wall's been chiseled out for all these hundreds of years, where people were trying to take little pieces of the wall where Martin Luther was. And we were leaving the Wartburg and driving back to his house, and he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Can you believe this?" He said, "Two country redneck boys. One from Oklahoma and one from, you know, was in the military. So from all over the place. Driving through the countryside in Germany. Just was at Martin Luther's Wartburg. And here we are preaching the gospel and sowing the seed. Amen. Look at what God's done." He said, "What was that?" "That was just God took a man and posted him in Germany." Man, I'll go to all over the world, and the most unusual, unlikely men God took and he posted. Like Brother Brian Gerard in New Candrian, New Britain Island, there in Papua New Guinea. One-eyed, amen, Brother Brian. Lost his eye right here, amen, playing basketball. Just God's in the business of posting men. And then I believe I'm done tonight. I had two more, but we're done. I think the Lord's through and I am too. I'm just saying tonight, God can. God can. And maybe tonight you walked in like this. You know what that is? It's a question mark. Maybe some of you need to stand up again and say, "Yes, He can." Whatever it is tonight you need, He can. I preached last week on where is God in all this. He's in the midst. You know where He is tonight? He's still in the midst. And God, He's not up twiddling His thumbs, not popping Maalox and taking Nexium and Omeprazole, drinking Mylanta, chewing Rolaids, popping Xanax, wondering, "Oh no, what's going to happen?" Listen, God's got it all under control. And tonight, He can. You can't ask too much of my God. And I don't know what it is you need tonight, but whatever it is, you can come and get some help from the Lord. Amen. Father, I love You tonight. And I thank You, Lord, for Your patience with me in my life. Thank You for Your goodness in our family. Thank You for our church, their love and their kindness to us. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to serve the Lord with gladness, with the people of God all the days of our life. And God, help us to be exclamation points for God in the midst of a world of question marks. Father, help us to walk and remind ourselves daily that You can. And Father, we'll love You more than we've ever loved You. God, help us to do that tonight, I pray. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.